And that's my way of saying that Congresswoman Susan Brooks is here now. We'll talk to her in a hot second, but also sitting in the studio, somebody who has met his share of congressmen and congresswomen for 5 decades. Reverend Dr. Melvin Gurton is celebrating 50 years of service to God just at his Christ Missionary Baptist Church, because he was serving God before he got that call. 50 years ago, we will be talking with him as well. All that and more in this hour. And with that, we welcome, first, you know, Pastor Melvin Gurton. It's always good to see you.
Well, good to be here.
And see, I brought some beauty here while you're sitting here.
Indeed, you did.
And that is Congresswoman Susan Brooks from the 5th Congressional District. Congresswoman, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It is wonderful to be home for the next 2 weeks.
For the two, they let you out for spring break.
Exactly. Well, it feels really good.
One of the things you're going to be doing next Thursday, is something you're calling Connecting Careers in Classrooms. Congresswoman, what's that about?
Well, thank you. It's our first of a series that we hope to have a couple of these each year. We've talked to a lot of educators, a lot of superintendents and principals and teachers, and we think that so many kids, middle school and high school, have no idea what kind of career path or what kind of future they can have. Mm-hmm. What are the jobs of the future? And so, and what are the jobs here in Indiana? And so we're actually, instead of going to the kids, and we need to go to the kids, we're actually going to bring in the school counselors and the teachers, because so often our teachers don't get outside of their classrooms either. Mm-hmm. And so they don't know what all the jobs are. They don't know really what you do or what Pastor Gurton does or what David Gurton does. We're going to be talking by sector. Mm-hmm. We're starting with agriculture.
Right.
And I know you might think, okay, you represent northern Indianapolis, up 8 counties to the north, but agriculture is one of our biggest sectors in Indiana.
People want to go to the grocery store and make sure there's food there.
Groceries and the types of businesses that we have in Indiana are some world-class businesses. So we're going to be up at Bex, which is one of the world's largest seed companies. Mm-hmm. We're going to also have a feed company, JBS United. These are world-class businesses. And we're going to teach educators and counselors what kind of classes, what kind of degrees, what kind of things do these companies look for. So we're going to start with agribusiness. In the fall, we'll probably do life sciences or maybe technology, and they're going to get tours of the businesses as well. And so they're going to, you know, listen to the business people about what are the jobs in those businesses.
So, people may not realize the 5th District obviously is the northern 20% of Marion County, all of Madison County, all of Hamilton County, plus
Up to Marion, Indiana.
But they may not realize how much agriculture is in your district.
Really, starting from northern Hamilton County to
the
north.
What, 160th Street going north, kind
of,
sort of?
Right, and Tipton County. And it is a lot of agribusiness. But even kids in Indianapolis, you know, we have fabulous businesses like Dow AgroSciences.
Right.
And while Bex is not that far to the north, these are really good jobs. They're often technology type of jobs, mm-hmm. or science types of jobs. But, you know, if kids like getting their hands dirty and like to learn about growing things, whether it's urban gardens and whether, you know, it's learning about where does all of our food come from? You know, grocery stores, working in groceries. I mean, these are important things. We can't do without food. And so that's what agribusiness is about. It's about feeding our communities and feeding the world. So we're going to talk about, you know, those businesses aren't going away. They're only going to grow.
And I know the Luger series is this Monday with Dick Luger, and you're getting an award from that?
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm receiving the Nancy Maloli Award. It is for women who have served in government, mm-hmm. and who have dedicated a part of their career to government. And so it's a huge honor to be receiving that award.
So now that we got all the good stuff that's happening with Congresswoman Susan Brooks, 7.5 million Americans signed up for the Affordable Care Act. That was the last official announcement made by Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. She announced her resignation yesterday. The president has named Susan Burwell, who, because we were trying to figure out before we were going on the air, Susan Burwell's background. She's from West Virginia. She's 48 years old. She has degrees from Harvard and Oxford. They ain't talking about Oxford. Of Ohio. And she has worked in the Clinton administration, including deputy budget director. She worked for the church and the Walmart Foundation. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and was on the board of directors of MetLife, the big insurance company. So she's got some street cred there.
And it's my understanding she's been confirmed before.
Yeah.
You know, now this is a very, very different job mm-hmm. she's moving over to, and a job, a position that has taken a lot of fire and will probably continue to take fire for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, the Affordable Care Act is, while it has, we've got 7.5 million people that have signed up, and I understand that you had a big push to try to get mm-hmm. folks to sign up.
Right.
You know, the challenge that other people have had, and I, you know, for the people who did get insurance through right. the exchanges, you know, that is a good thing. We want people to be able to get insurance. Unfortunately, a lot of people also lost their insurance because of this process, and or have, you know, significant increases in their premiums or lost their doctors. And so this is a law that we're going to have to continue to work through, and we hope that the new secretary is willing to sit down and, you know, make changes to the Affordable Care Act. We just passed what's called the SAVE Act in the House. That is because a lot of people, particularly hourly workers who were working between 30 and 40 hours, right. got their hours cut to under 30 because of this law. Mm-hmm. There are some real common sense changes we think need to be made to the law. So I hope the new secretary is willing to sit down with us and try and make some of those changes.
People may not realize that the Congress did agree on a budget that the government is now working with. That's the fiscal 14 budget. Did I say
yes,
that right?
Yes.
And so now the budget process for 2015 has started. Paul Ryan has introduced a budget. Is this like the opening gambit? The House will do their budget, then the Senate will do theirs, and eventually we're going to have a big fight in the summer, and then maybe smarter folks will figure this out.
Well, very good question. I have to tell you, actually, just yesterday, we passed the Paul Ryan budget.
You passed the Paul Ryan
we
budget.
We did pass
that
the Paul
was
Ryan
quick.
Budget. Well, we didn't actually have to do a budget, mm-hmm. But we believe it's important to do a budget. Now, sadly, the Senate has said they're not doing a budget.
Well, but here's, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is what I've heard about. And see, Paul, you know, Paul Ryan snuck into town, went to one of the great churches here, to a great ministry that's going on with that great church. And I know Reverend Gurdon is familiar with the lock-in that they have with African-American men.
Right.
Didn't bother to come and explain his own budget. So I don't have the luxury of hearing from Paul Ryan. But we hear that in that budget, they're still cutting programs for people. Is that cutting the bureaucracy part of the program but not the services, or cutting the services?
Well, I appreciate your openness on this, because we do have way too many often programs that duplicate, programs that overlap. Mm-hmm. There still, you know, remains too much fraud and waste in a lot of programs. And so there are some cuts, there are changes to programs, but that is because we want to keep these safety net programs. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure there is Medicare there for the future. Right. As I've told you, you know, we have 10,000 baby boomers a day rolling on to those roles. Mm-hmm. We can't keep, you know, that promise for the future for programs like Medicare. We have way too many people in the last many years that have signed up for food stamps. Mm-hmm. So this budget did say, if you're an able-bodied person without dependents, you got to go work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people don't like that, but I've been one that, let's get a focus, the statistics you just talked about, Amos, let's focus on education and get people working, mm-hmm. because then they won't need the safety net programs if we can get them into jobs and into careers that make sense. And so, you know, we're trying to the budget does cut, it balances in 10 years,
right.
which is a very big deal. We got to get back to balanced budgets. We haven't really had balanced budgets since the Clinton years. You know, we've got to get back to balanced budgets. It's very important for our kids' future. So it does balance. There are some cuts, but I think that they were really pretty wise cuts.
Is this a campaign, as Republicans articulate their themes in 2014, is this something where Republicans have to start coming to minority communities and telling those communities where they stand on the issues? Governor Pence comes in here, he sits in the chair where Reverend Gurdon is, and he articulates their policies. You are here articulating the policies. We had the Republican candidates who were running for the 7th district that were on here, and they came and articulated their policies. Even Dr. Ben Carson, who is a very polarizing and controversial figure, went on our sister network TV One just last week with Roland Martin, who will be out here on the 26th for our women's empowerment, and had a very frank conversation about where he stands on the issues. Is this a point where a Paul Ryan shouldn't just come to Indianapolis and go into the bosom of our community and show solidarity, but also talk to the community on their trusted voices?
Well, you know,
I heard Paul Ryan is nicer than you are.
Really? Well,
that's what I heard.
He is a good guy. I do admit that. He is a very good guy, and he cares very much about all people, and he is a big fan of Indianapolis and, you know, programs here. Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Woodson, I believe, introduced
Dr. Robert Woodson, right.
Yeah, introduced him to the Indianapolis community. Why he doesn't come here, I have not asked him that.
Ask him that. Don't be afraid of.
And I'll tell you, I actually ran into him at the airport on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I learned that he was here.
He likes to just sneak in here.
And,
how can he sneak in your turf?
In part, I think he's actually not trying to do it for the media attention. Mm-hmm. And so I give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. That he's actually coming in, talking to people in communities, learning what programs he likes and is working. It's Indianapolis is not the only community he's done this with.
Right.
And I think showing sincerity. He's not doing this just to promote himself or promote his work or promote what he's interested. And all of that work and those experiences weigh into his budgets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how he then helps lead our Congress in his budget discussions. I was really pleased that he and Senator Patty Murray came up with that bipartisan budget deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm disappointed, though, that the Senate's not putting forth a budget this time.
Isn't that
what we're supposed to be doing?
It's early in the process. One final thing.
Now, they've said they're not going to do one, Amos.
Yeah.
They're not doing a budget.
They're not doing a budget?
They're not doing a budget. They've said they're not doing a budget.
Wait till I talk to Joe Donnelly. We'll find out about that.
Okay.
Couple of other things. You sit on some committees in the Congress, in the House, that deal with our national security. Do we need to be worried about the situation in the Ukraine? In the remarks that General Powell made yesterday to the media, he indicated that the Russian people view President Putin as trying to help them regain their stature and their proper place in the world. That's what's driving his popularity, though he says, General Powell said, that Putin is just making tactical errors in terms of the things he's trying to do. He seems like he's trying to muscle and bully the folks in the eastern Ukraine. He's kind of acting like Mama Pope on Scandal, kind of, sort of. But do we need to worry that this thing could escalate?
I think, you know, obviously you had one of the world's experts, and so I would certainly defer what General Powell said. But yes, I do believe there is room for worry because of Putin's aggressive nature and what he is doing to really kind of take down the democracy
right.
that the Ukrainian government is
mm-hmm.
trying to maintain.
Right.
And with it being so close, you know, the Ukrainian people really have wanted to be much more a part of the European Union
right.
and to really be a part of, you know, more of Europe and the democracies of Europe rather than affiliate themselves with Russia. Now, our challenge is in that area is that Russia controls so much of the power of the oil and the gas and the energy in that area.
It sounds like it's a child grows up. Wants to leave the house and go hang with the other people down the street, but dad, who's still paying the bills or fronting the money, said, "No, you can't hang over there. You got to hang with me."
Well, and so it is a huge, I think, concern that, you know, Putin welcomes the world
right.
in for the Olympics and tries to become this, you know, global citizen and try to showcase, you know, Sochi and, you know, how welcoming Russia is, and then to invade,
right.
You know, its neighbor,
yeah.
a neighbor that's, you know, struggling in its democracy, I think is just wrong. And so I do think we need to be very concerned and really, you know, crank up the sanctions against Russia. And so I'm pleased that, you know, that we've started that process, but it's something that I do think is very concerning. And you got to remember, Russia is tied to Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And Russia is tied to Syria.
And we need their help to cut those deals.
Right. Yeah. And Iran is an extremely dangerous with their nuclear capabilities, or their close to nuclear capabilities.
And friends with the boogeyman, and we're trying to keep that, you know, yeah, keep it's the all, homeland safe.
It's all connected. And so, you know, those are things of grave concern. That's why I'm pleased to serve on Homeland Security. It's something we've got to keep a huge focus on. Next week is the 1 year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. Right, right. I mean, where people lost their lives, lost their limbs. You know, Homeland Security, we host so many huge events in this city. You know, we still have to keep a huge focus on Homeland. So I'm really pleased to be a part of that.
We're about to talk to somebody that's living Hoosier history. How important is it to honor those, whether they're black, white, you honor those who have helped to build this community, people like Melvin Gurdon?
Well, I'm honored to be sitting in the studio today with Pastor Gurdon. We met when I was a deputy mayor in the late 90s. And
right.
And at that time, you know, visited with pastors throughout this community because of our violence and high homicide rate back in the late 90s.
Are there some things we can, because you were out there on that point in the late 90s, are there some things we should be doing that maybe we aren't doing as a city?
Well, you know, I read, we just have to stay together mm-hmm. as a community. Mm-hmm. And we worked very hard to try to bring the faith community, working with law enforcement, you know, working in our neighborhoods. We have to support the work that our churches do for our young people, because, you know, as Mayor Goldsmith used to say, as then Mayor Peterson and Mayor Ballard now says, I mean, it is folks and the work that is done in our churches that is going to change the hearts and the minds of our kids. And we've got to support them in making sure that they can reach as many kids and as many reentering offenders and as many single moms and single dads. We've got to support their work because they're really, I think, the solution, that and education.
Do we need to also make sure, and I know after 9/11, we put so much resources in our federal law enforcement on Homeland Security for all the right reasons.
Absolutely.
Do we need to just cross-check and make sure, maybe can we spare some resources in terms of drug interdiction, illegal weapons interdiction?
Well, I wouldn't go, because the drug interdiction, I would not pull away resources for.
Pull them back from Homeland Security into drug interdiction.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Homeland Security dollars, though, I think those are so very important because of the world, the way it is. You know, we've got to continue to monitor and ensure we don't have terrorists in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In addition to, you know, those who are committing murders and dealing drugs. And so, I would be very concerned about that. I think we have to continue to focus on where is the waste, the fraud, waste, and abuse in government? Where is the duplication of services? How can we make it? How can we streamline and then move those resources over to programs that are making a difference? So I am a big fan of faith-based groups and I applaud you and all of your work in our community. And, you know, I'm honored to be sitting here today with you.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Susan Brooks, always good to see you. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you. Congress off for two whole weeks.
We're working, though. We're out working.
Well, we know that. All right. I understand that. Thanks very much for being with us. When we get back, we'll talk to the other man of the hour, Pastor Melvin Gurdon. And in our 2 o'clock hour, the folks from the Casey Foundation and General Colin Powell. This afternoon's name is on a very busy Friday.